He's making them work to get the straw by themselves. They have to produce, they have to make as many bricks as before, or else their children will be taken away and put in the wall. Things have become now worse instead of better. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, why did you do this to the Yidden? Why did you do such a bad thing to the Yidden? Here, they've suffered so much. You sent me to take them out, and now it's worse for them. What's going on? Kinalach, anybody would have this question. Anybody would be upset. But Kinalach, Hashem got very upset with Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem is with a tzaddik like a hair. So careful. The tiniest, smallest thing that a tzaddik does, that Hashem gets very upset, he expects a very, very special and careful behavior from a tzaddik. And he says to Moshe, what are you asking questions on me? Don't you know that I'm Hashem? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm not a person. You can't figure out Hashem, don't you know that? Avraham never asked questions, even though I asked him to go to the Akedah. He couldn't figure that out. He believed in me with a perfect believing. Yitzchak, do you think he asked questions on me when he was on the Mizbeach? And Yaakov, with all of his trouble that he had in his life, from Esav, from Lavan, from Yosef disappearing, do you think that Yaakov asked on me Shilas? Never. And I didn't even speak to them so much, and I did not even show myself to them so much as I did you. You've seen more things. You've seen higher things than them. And here, you go and ask questions on me. And Hashem got very upset at Moshe. Even you, as great a tzaddik, as great a navi as you are, you have to know that Hashem is higher. Believing in Hashem means Hashem is higher than what you or anyone, even the greatest tzaddik, can figure out, because Hashem is not a person. Of course, we have to understand Hashem. There's a mitzvah to understand as much as you can about Hashem. Even to learn Chassidus, even to learn Kabbalah, Panimiya Sateira, to understand secrets about Hashem. Because we have a mitzvah to learn and to understand. Nasa v'nishma. We have to understand. But in the end, we have to know that we really can't understand Hashem. Hashem didn't give us to really understand how high Hashem is. That means believing in Hashem. And so can Allah. Moshe knows that he has to believe in Hashem even stronger and even with more emunah. And he has to know that Hashem will help, and everything from Hashem is good, even though it looks very bad now. We can't figure out these things. And so Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron. And now Moshe and Aaron go a second time to Paroi, to the palace. And this time Bilam says, okay, Paroi, let them prove that it's not magic, because the whole thing is just magic. Let's put them to a test. And if you remember, by the sneh, by the burning bush, Hashem gave Moshe a sign, and he said, throw your stick down, and it'll become a snake. Remember? And they go to Paroi, and Paroi says, let's see if you're really from Hashem like you say you are, or it's just like magic, because everybody in Mitzrayim knows magic, and you also know magic. So let's see what you can do. Show us your tricks. And Aaron took the stick, and Aaron threw the stick down, and it became a snake. And Paroi and Bilam and everybody else starts to laugh. A big deal. Everybody in Mitzrayim knows how to do that trick. That's one of the first tricks they teach kids in school. That's one of the first tricks they teach kids in school. That's nothing. And Paroi told his wife, now his wife, Mrs. Paroi, was not only a good magician, she was better than all the magicians put together in Mitzrayim. She took a stick and she threw it down and became a snake. And they brought kids. And the kids took their sticks and threw them down. They became snakes also. Everybody was laughing at Moshe and Aaron. What's the big deal? And then they brought the magicians of Mitzrayim. And they threw their sticks down. They also became snakes. There were snakes crawling all over the floor. Every place is snakes. Then all of a sudden, Aaron's snake goes and swallows up all the other snakes. And they laugh again. That's supposed to prove something? That's such a big deal? That it goes and swallows up all the snakes? A big snake can swallow little snakes. It's not a magic trick even. It's just because that's what snakes do. And everybody's laughing at Moshe and Aaron. And Bilam said, I'll tell you what could show that it's not magic, but they're not going to be able to do it. And that is, if Aaron's stick would go and swallow up the magician's sticks. But it's impossible, he couldn't do that. That would be a good trick that our magicians couldn't do. All of a sudden, the big snake that was crawling around full of the other snakes started spitting out all the snakes that he had swallowed. And now, it was all snakes again crawling everywhere, just like before. And then every snake went back to the person that threw it down. The magician snakes went to them, and the kitty snakes went to them, and the queen snake went to her. And they grabbed the snakes by the tail, and it became a stick again. Then Aaron's snake went to Aaron, and he picked it up, and it became a stick again. All of a sudden, Aaron threw a stick, and it went and it swallowed. It went to every stick, and it started swallowing up every stick. Just like Bilam had said. It went to the queen's stick and ate it up, swallowed it. And it went to the magician's sticks and swallowed it. And it went to the kitty's sticks and swallowed it. It went to every stick. And this time it didn't become fat. It stayed skinny just like the stick was before. You understand? And now, Paroi says to Bilam, how did he do that? Was that magic? And Bilam got a little bit nervous. I never saw that in magic school in the Black Mountains. I'm not exactly sure what that is. We'll have to see what's going on over here. And so Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, it is time now to make the makos on Mitzrayim. Don't you worry. You have not seen anything yet. You're going to see such big nisim now. And the Yidden are going to see what Hashem could do. And the Goyim are going to get their punishment for all the shlechts they did. Don't you worry, this is all part of a big plan. And you can't figure out the plan from looking at one part of it. Imagine this picture, Kinalach. You see a knife. A person's holding a knife. And he's cutting somebody's leg, and there is blood coming out. You say, this is terrible. Look what I see. A knife, a leg, and blood, and it's cutting. Oh, this is terrible. And all of a sudden, Kinalach, the whole wall goes up because you were looking through a little window. Just imagine, just pretend the whole wall now goes up, and you see, hey, look. Look what I see. It's a hospital. It's an operating room where the doctors are operating. The doctor is the one that's holding a special knife. The patient, the one who's sick, is lying down on the operating table. And the doctor tells the nurse, we have to cut something out of the leg to save the person's life. Because if we don't cut this thing out from the leg, the person, chas v'shalom, could die. What all of a sudden happened? You see, the doctor, by cutting out the thing from the leg, even though there's blood coming out, that's part of the operation, and he'll stop the bleeding, the doctor is saving the person's life. Now, when you look at the same thing, is it good or is it bad? Is it bad or is it good? What is it? It's good. You saw the same thing before only through that little window. You only saw one little part, and it looked bad. But when you see the whole picture, that little part all of a sudden becomes what? Good. The same thing here. Hashem says to Maisha, you're seeing one little part of the picture. Don't worry, the whole picture is good, but you have to believe in that. That means believing in Hashem. Everything is good. Even you can't understand it, you believe that everything from Hashem is good. And you will see, and the Yidden will see, the greatness of Hashem in Mitzrayim through the 10 Makos. In Parshas Va'era, there are 7 Makos. And in Parshas Boy, there are 3 Makos, and Yitzias Mitzrayim is in Parshas Boy. And Kinelach, the next morning, very early, Moshe and Aaron go down to the river, to a secret place by the river. Secret being that nobody knew about it, of course, but 2. Paroi knew the secret place, and of course, the one who sees every secret place knows about the secret place. Who knows every secret place? Hashem. Hashem told Moshe and Aaron how to get to the secret place. Early the next morning, Paroi wakes up before everybody. While he's still in his pajamas, he runs out of the palace. And nobody ever saw him do this because they thought that Paroi sleeps late. Like some kings, they sleep late. What do they have to get up for? They're the king. They can do whatever they want. Paroi is running into the river. Why is Paroi running to the river? He has to go make. He has to use the basic Issei. Now, in Paroi's part of the palace, there was no basic Issei. He told the builders not to build him one. And they said, Paroi, why don't you want us to build in your palace a basic Issei? After all, a person needs a basic Issei. And Paroi said, yes, a person needs a basic Issei, but not a god. I'm a god. Don't you remember? I made the world. I made the world, Paroi says. Me, Paroi, I made the world. I made the river. I made the world. I made everything. And you have to daven to me. You think I go to the bathroom? You think I go to the basic Issei? A god? Not me, no. Oh. And people never saw Paroi go to the basic Issei. They believed he was a god. Because a normal person goes to the bathroom. Paroi never went. Oh, you must be a god. Kinelach, nobody saw early in the morning that Paroi woke up in his pajamas and went running so fast because once a day he had to go to the bathroom like anybody. He was just a person. He was tricking everybody, fooling everybody. He was making baloney mices with everybody. And he ran, and nobody ever saw where he went because it was so early. He ran to a secret place of the river that nobody knew about. And all of a sudden, as he reaches that place, and you can imagine from holding it in a whole day how badly he had to go to the bathroom, all of a sudden, Moshe and Aaron is standing right there. Oh, good morning, Paroi. Good morning. How do you think Paroi feels? How embarrassed that these 2 Yidden that came into his palace, they know his secret. They know he's just a regular person that has to go to the basic Issei. Paroi says, let me go, let me go, let me go. Don't worry, Paroi, we'll let you go. Don't we have to have a word with you? Of course, Paroi was so embarrassed. His face turned red. And he used the basic Issei, the river, which is also a getchka, by the way, that everybody had to have respect for. And then Paroi goes over there to use his basic Issei in the river that everybody held was a halik, a getchka. See how much he cares. And now he felt better, and he goes to Moshe and Aaron, what do you want? Well, what are you doing here? Well, you know, we just want to see over here. You know, we just want to see what's over here. We just thought we'd come over here to talk to you. After all, in the palace, you weren't too friendly. Maybe over here, you're going to be a little bit friendlier to us, you know? And Paroi, of course, didn't know what to say. What can you say? And Moshe and Aaron say to Paroi, let the Yidden of Mitzrayim, or else we are going to start the 10 Makos. And Moshe takes the stick, But actually it was Aharon, because as you're going to see, Aharon was the one who made some of the makos, as you're going to see. And Kinaloth, the Dalet was lining up on the stick. And Aharon says, Moshe, what is... I'm sorry. And Aharon says, Paroi, what's on the stick lighting up? Paroi says, I can't read it. Okay, Paroi, say, Dalet. Paroi says, Dalet. This is a Dalet. You know what it stands for? Dom. Dom. Paroi says, don't call me names. I don't mean you're dumb, Paroi. I mean, Dom in Hebrew means blood. There's going to be blood. The river is going to turn into blood. Oh, Paroi says, never. The river, do you know, is a getchke. We dive into the river. And the river will never let you make it blood. Oh, yeah? Just watch what's going to happen now unless you decide to let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Paroi says, I will not let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Okay, Paroi, here we go. Aharon stuck the stick into the water. Now, why not, Moshe? Because the river really took care of Moshe. It saved him. It protected him. So how can he go now and put a makah into the river if it did him nice, did him good? You don't do chas v'shalom bad back to somebody who did you good. And all of a sudden, Kinaloth, the water started turning into blood. Paroi is supposed to figure out the getchke cannot help itself over here. It turned into blood. And Kinaloth, the blood went everywhere in the river. Not only that, every water, everything of water, every glass of water, every bathtub, every place where there was water, a barrel of water, a bucket of water, a jar of water, a pot of soup cooking on the stove with water, every drop of water turned into blood. And of course, the fishies cannot live in blood, so the fishies started to float up to the top dead, and they started to wash up to the side of the river. Dead fish. Did you ever smell dead fish?
Yes.
After a while, thousands and thousands of dead fish move over to the side of the river covered with blood, and the hot sun of Mitzrayim is baking the dead fish. And after a while, it starts to smell, and after a while it starts to smell bad, and then after a while it starts to stink, because rotten dead fish stink terrible. It would make a person nauseous. And that was a part of the makah. Not only that people were thirsty, they didn't have what to drink because it was blood everywhere, but there was the smell of dead, rotten fish going everywhere. The smell was carrying everywhere. And people were going around thirsty. We're thirsty, we're thirsty. We want a drink. Now, Kinaloth, in the land of Goshen where the Yidden lived, all the water stayed water. The Yidden had plenty of water. The kids got a drink, no problem. The Mitzrim saw the Yidden drinking water. Please, we want water, give us water. And a Goy goes over to a Yid. Give me that glass of water. He drinks the water, and as soon as he touches the glass and lifts it up to his mouth, it turns into blood. The Yid drinks the water, it's water. As soon as the Goy drinks the water, it turns into blood. And one Goy had an idea. I'll take my straw, I'll stick it into the water while he's drinking with his straw, and I'll drink. What happened? The Yid is drinking, and the water in his straw is water. And the Goy drinks, and the water that goes up his straw is blood. Oy vey! Only if they paid a lot of money. Can you imagine, let's say $10 for a cup of water? Then maybe they got a little bit of water. Otherwise, they didn't have water. And the Mitzrim were going around screaming and crying, we're thirsty, and it stinks. We're thirsty, and it stinks. Oh, it smells terrible. I'm nauseous. And it was such a terrible makah. And Paroi says, okay, call Moshe and Aharon. Stop the makah, it's terrible. I'll let the Jews go out of Mitzrayim. It's enough. I can't stand it anymore. They came. They davened to Hashem to stop the makah. The blood went away. But then Paroi was a big liar and a big cheater. And he thought it was a magic trick anyway, because he told his magicians to also turn water into blood. And they could also do it with magic. He says, this is a big magic trick, that's all. Forget it. I will not let the Yedad of Mitzrayim. I changed my mind. His heart became hard like a stone. And even though he said he was going to let the Yidden out, he didn't. And so, Kindalak, 3 weeks went by. The Makkah lasted a week. After 3 weeks, Moshe and Aaron go back to Paroi. And they say to Paroi, look what's on the stick lighting up, Paroi. Could you read it? Paroi says, no, I can't read that letter. I don't know how to read that. This is a tzaddik. It stands for tzfardeya. Paroi says, what's that, tzfardeya? Tzfardeya means a froggy, Paroi. You like froggies? Paroi says, yeah, I think they're kind of cute, green froggies. Well, just see how cute you think this is going to be when it becomes a mako. Aaron went to the river. He put the stick into the river, and out came a gigantic frog. So big. Imagine how big the Twin Towers are, and the frog is even bigger. A gigantic, giant froggy coming out from the river. And Paroi, he sees the frog. Oi, 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 vey. It's a scary big frog. Do something. Hit it with a stick. Kill it. They hit it with a stick, and all of a sudden it divided into two. It became two frogs. A little bit smaller, but two. Hit those frogs. They hit the two frogs with sticks. They became four frogs. Each time they hit a frog with a stick, instead of chas v'shalom, not chas v'shalom for a frog, but instead of killing the frog, it only made more frogs. And they got a smaller, but they got more, until everybody goes around hitting with them with the sticks, making more frogs, and there were millions and millions of frogs jumping and croaking all over Mitzrayim, going everywhere. And Hashem commanded the froggies, go everywhere in Mitzrayim. Everywhere. And the froggies are going, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's jump, let's go. And they're jumping every single place they can get. They're jumping on people, and they're jumping into their ears and into their mouths. And they're jumping all around, and they're croaking all over the place. And the people are going nuts, not only from the froggies, but all the noise, the froggy noise everywhere, croaking and jumping and making froggy croaks. And they couldn't sleep at night. There's froggies in their rooms, croaking and jumping. And they jump everywhere, even into the food. They try to eat the cereal, but it's full of frogs. They try to eat their potatoes, it's full of frogs. They even eat their bread, it's full of frogs. The frogs even jumped into ovens. And they went into the dough, and they got baked into the bread, froggy bread, everywhere. Froggy bagels, froggy cakes, froggy cookies, froggy cereal, froggy everything. Shh. Now, Kinnaloth, there was some midstream, and I told you this, but I'll tell you again because I want it here. The interesting Mesiras Nefesh and the interesting thing, the way Hashem makes the world, that some Mitzrim had very, very good houses, thick walls, good doors, good windows, and they thought they were smarter than everyone else, and they locked all the windows, locked all the doors, and no frogs got into their house. And the frogs surrounded the house trying to get in, but they cannot get past the stone walls because, of course, frogs are soft and stone walls are hard, and there were no cracks that they can jump through. And the froggy said, what are we going to do? And the other froggy said, Hashem said we should go everywhere. If Hashem said we should do that, there's a way to do that. Yeah, but there's a big stone here. Look at this big wall, this big rock. How can we go through? Listen, you know what? If Hashem said, we can even go through a rock. Don't you know what's Mesiras Nefesh? Nothing stands in your way. Now watch this. And the frog starts speaking to the rock. And froggy starts speaking to the stone in the wall. Hey, move aside. Open up an opening. We want to go through. And Mr. Stone says to Mr. Froggy, what are you telling me to do? I'm a stone. You don't see I'm here? He says, but I'm a frog. Hashem wants me to go everywhere in Mitzrayim. I have to do my job for Hashem. And the stone says, but I'm doing my job for Hashem as a stone. Hashem made me a stone. So I'm supposed to be a stone. I'm being a stone, you're being a frog. A frog is soft, a stone is hard. And that's the way it is. Tough luck, that's the way it is. All of a sudden, the frog says, but Hashem just told me today, I have to jump everywhere. So that's more important, and that comes first over you being a hard stone. And sure enough, Hashem told the stone, the frog, he's right. Even though I made you a stone, but certain times I'm going to make you to do things that stones usually don't do, because I told Mr. Froggy to do a special shlichus. And all of a sudden, Hashem told Mr. Stone to open up openings and let the froggies through. Stones do not usually open up their own holes, but now the stones moved aside within themselves and opened up open places, and the froggies start jumping in that house too. Because Hashem is in charge of the whole world, and He can change things in the world sometimes in order to do what Hashem wants. Because Hashem l'chatchila makes them in the first place, so He can change them also. And froggies are jumping everywhere, and in Paro's palace the froggies go in, and they go on Paro's crown, and in Paro's pajamas when he's sleeping on his pillow and in his bed, and they're croaking, and they even jump inside their mouths and croak inside of their heads and in their stomachs. And the midstream are going nuts from all the croaking and all the froggies jumping. And also, Paro promised, I've had enough. I'll let the yidden out. He asked Moshe to go and daven for to Hashem. It was so loud that Moshe had to go outside of the city to daven to Hashem, because you're supposed to listen to yourself davening. If you cannot hear yourself davening, you're not really Yetzi davening. So he had to go out where he could hear himself davening to Hashem. He davened to Hashem to get rid of the froggies. And the froggies, in 1 minute, just died. No more sound. All of a sudden, it was quiet. And now there was piles and piles of dead froggies everywhere. The Mitzrayim could not get rid of them fast enough. And they also started to get rotten and stink. Big piles of froggies in the sun getting rotten and stinking. You can imagine how terrible it was. Just like the fish covered with blood, now it's the froggies that are rotten and stinking. And that was a part of the Makkah. Finally, they cleared away the froggies, and Paro's heart became hard. And he said, I will not let the people go. And 3 weeks went by again. Now, Kinalach, no froggies went to the land of Goshen. The Yidden could see by the Goyim all these makos, but by the Yidden they never had any problem. And if a Goy would try to run over to Eretz Goshen, the froggies would cling to him, but they wouldn't go on any Yid. So as we see, the makos were like two-sided. On the one side, they were a punishment for the Goyim, and on the other side, they showed the Yidden how great is Hashem. You can imagine how good the Yidden felt. You should not feel good to see somebody punished. But you can imagine they felt some kind of good. Number one, they don't have to be slaves anymore. From Rosh Hashanah on, there was no slavery, because the Makkah started then, and the Goyim were so afraid to start up with the Yidden, they didn't have them be slaves anymore. And number two, they see that Hashem is helping them against the Mitzrayim. And Paro, he said, it's magic tricks. That's all it is. Baloney mice, froggy tricks. Because his magicians could also make froggies with their magic sticks and their magic tricks and their crystal balls and their abacadabracadoos. And so, Kinalach, 3 weeks went by, and then started the next makkah. Aaron took the stick, he put it on the ground, because the ground had helped Moshe when he hid the Mitzri after he killed the Mitzri. He hid him in the ground, so Moshe didn't want to do something back to the ground. Aaron stuck the stick in the ground, and it became kinim, lice. Little bugs called lice that hopefully nobody knows about, but you cannot kill them very easily at all. They stick to your skin, and they make many, many more bugs all every minute. So many more bugs get born and get hatched, get made. They crawl all over, and you cannot get rid of them except if you have very strong kinds of chemicals and different kinds of soaps, which who knows if they had in those days. And they were getting covered with these little lice, these little bugs crawling all over them. And the whole ground became lice. They were walking on lice, thick. There was no ground anymore. It was just lice. If you remember, that's why Yaakov wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because he didn't want to be in the ground when it turned into lice.